Good morning. This is October 29th, 1992, and it's really a privilege for a member of the Oral History Committee from the Livermore Heritage Guild to be at the home of Dorothy Hawk and having a chance to interview her and have her perspective on life in Livermore as a native, as well as the first woman city clerk. Good morning, Dorothy.
Good morning.
Dorothy, you are a native.
The light went on.
Dorothy, we're back again on this mechanical mind here. You were born in Livermore. Who were your parents?
My parents were Gertrude Cardoza Hawk. My father's name was John Hawk. My mom was one of 10 children. All of them passed away except four who grew to adulthood. She and my dad were married in 17 or 18, anyway, and I was born in 1919. And my father passed away in 1925.
They were married in 1918.
And my mother raised my sister and I by herself. And she died in 1951.
You were saying that you sort of lived in the center of town.
Yes. When I was little, first of all, I was not born in Livermore. I was born in the city of Alameda. As I often say, my mother took me there to be born because there was no hospital at that time in Livermore. However, I have lived in Livermore the rest of my life. When I first was little, we lived on 3rd Street in the house, which is still there. I see it every once in a while. And then we moved to L Street, and I see that house lots of times. And finally, we moved to 4th Street, where we were directly across from the back of the Carnegie Library. In fact, my sister, when my sister was married, her reception was held in the basement of that building. And we had a great time with the rest of the people who were at the wedding going back and forth across the street.
I bet so, because it was right across the street.
Yes,
from 4th
Street was never as busy as it is now, so some of us could even play in the street at that time.
And that's the only house left in that block. The rest of them were all buildings, I believe.
I think you're right.
I think all the houses have been replaced, but that's been restored now.
On that side of the house,
on that side of the block.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Any other early recollections of Livermore you'd like to share?
Yes, one thing I can remember was the Portuguese Holy Ghost celebration, which was held in the early part of the year, and I've forgotten exactly what the proper dates were. But one of the things that I can remember to this day is the fact that they had lots of fireworks. And for some unknown reason, I don't know why, I was totally terrified of them. And I can remember being there because we all went. It was one of the great social occasions. And it was held on the block where the Eagles have their building now.
Oh, I remember hearing about that now, because Philomena Medeiros talked about it.
Yes. Oh, and I forgot, my mother was the first Holy Ghost queen. They always
was
had a
she
queen
really?
In
oh,
those
that's
days.
Oh, great, yes.
And, in fact, the crown that the young lady would hold is now in the St. Michael's Catholic Church on display.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, that's really interesting. Well, of course, Dorothy, I know you as the city clerk of Livermore. You were city clerk. I came in 1959, and you were just always city clerk and a wonderful image for our city. But How did you get to be city clerk, or did you do anything before that? Or?
Well, it was an odd situation, happy for me in a way, but yet sad at the same time. I had gone to work for the city at the beginning of 1949. Mr. Young was the then city clerk, and it was an old friend. He and his wife and my mother were old friends. I worked until 1951 as his deputy city clerk.
I see.
And the odd thing about that is that we did everything. We issued building permits and not building permits. We probably didn't do those, but we did do the gas permits, the electrical permits, the plumbing permits. One of the men in the office collected the business licenses, and he walked the street doing it. In other words, he dropped in at each business and collected the license.
For heaven's sake.
And his name was George Doten, D-O-T-E-N. And he had been, before John Michaels, the police chief.
Oh, I thought I remember seeing that name. Now, Fred Young was a relative of Malvern Sweet.
Yes.
Wasn't he?
I don't remember what the relationship was.
I'm not quite
was.
Sure either, but I think it,
yes,
in
he
his
was.
Family tree.
Yes, somewhere along the line. But anyway, Mr. Young had gone to a council meeting. I didn't go at that time. And about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he said, "I'm tired, I'm going home." So he did. And I said, "I'll see you in the morning." So the next morning, as I was walking to work, which I could do at that time, John Michaels came along and picked me up on his way to work, because the police station was in the same building we worked in. And he told me that Mr. Young had had a massive cerebral hemorrhage and had died in the night. And so I went to work not knowing exactly what was going to be happening. And later in the day, the then mayor, Lou Gardella, came and said they were going to appoint me as city clerk because I knew as much as anybody did about the job. And I said, "Oh, no, mm-mm." And at the same time, my mother was very, very ill, and I knew she was going to be dying shortly.
Uh-huh.
And so I was in somewhat of a turmoil.
Oh, I bet.
But in any case, they said, "You're it, kid." So I was it. And they had a special election, a special meeting later that day.
For appointing you.
For appointing me, which they then did and could do at that time, because position was not elective at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hired another person, Norma LeMay, who was a dear friend, to come and work with me, and we carried on. And then in 1952, it was elected at that point. It is not now.
No, I want to mention that later on.
Yes.
We'll talk about that.
I had to stand for election, of course, then.
Okay.
And no one ran against me, or ever did.
Did anyone ever run against
no,
you?
No, no one ever did. And my sister used to always tease me and say, "Great, we really get a lot of choice when we elect a city clerk."
In fact, what does a city clerk do, Dorothy?
Well, a city clerk is sort of like the secretary to the council, and generally, by law, there are certain duties which are set up, of course, and I must do those. Others can be imposed by the council. I went to all meetings, took the minutes. Ordinances and resolutions are things that need to be processed further than the meeting, of course, so ordinances have to be published, which I did, took care of doing, and resolutions sometimes had to be routed around for various reasons, and I did that. At the time, I was also in effect, the finance director, because there was no one else, and so we had to do the books, Norma and I.
Do you have anything to do with election registration?
Elections were our problem. We registered people because it was a service we could offer. And at the time, it was a rather long form, which was not filled out by the person registering. It was filled out by us.
I see.
A person.
It wasn't like the bike now, volunteers just go out.
I feel that there's certainly no impediment to registering to vote in these days. Pick up a postcard and fill it out and mail it in, and I don't think anything could be simpler than that.
Well, it looks like in 1992 we're having a lot of, hopefully we'll have some better turnouts for elections. So we know what the city clerk does. I think it might be interesting to also talk about Livermore. We said as we were having a conversation earlier that Livermore is a general law city and now has a city manager who serves at the city council. What has it always had a city manager here in Livermore?
No. When I first went to work for the city, basically the council was sort of the manager and the city clerk carried out whatever duties that needed to be taken care of. And I've forgotten exactly the date, but I think it was in the early 50s for sure, that they first decided, which they can do by general law, the council can decide to have a city manager. However, in this case, they called it a city administrator. And he was hired and came and stayed for, I think, about 2 years. And then Bill Parness arrived, and he preferred the title of city manager, and so it was changed by ordinance to city manager.
I see. Dorothy, you had something you wanted to say about elections as related to the job of city clerk.
Yes, that was one of the, to me, nightmares of the job was elections, because there were so many details involved. And each year, the legislature in their wisdom always had a million changes that they made, and so it was difficult to keep up with it. But in any case, in the early elections, the city not only had their own booths and equipment, but we also had to go out and recruit the places for elections and also people to work. And I think it paid something like maybe $10 at that time,
which for the whole day.
For the whole day, which
it's
was
now
seven,
more like $10
which was
an hour,
seven
maybe.
To seven. Now, of course, it's 7 to 8. Anyway, that was always difficult to do. I used to cruise up and down the street to see if I could think of a place to have a booth. Anyway, we always had crises happening, and one of the sad things was that one time one of my election officers died on while working, and so we had to deal with that. And the second thing I remember vividly was at one election, we had about, I don't know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 to 20 absentee ballots. We rarely had very many at that time, in contrast to now. Anyway, the election rested on, I mean, who was elected rested on those absentee ballots.
That few?
That few.
Oh, it was close.
It was close. And always, at that time, absentee ballots were not counted until a week later.
Ooh.
At the council meeting. And at the time, the council had to certify the election, in other words. And so it was, I must admit, a great difficulty to withhold myself from steaming open all those absentee ballots and trying to find out who was elected. As it turned out, one of the persons, should I mention the
yes,
name?
Yes, what election was this?
It was an election
probably,
wherein
huh?
Mr. Gardella, who had been on the council for many years, Lou Gardella his name was,
and the Gardella Greens
yes,
park
named
down
for him.
By the
yes,
new city
exactly.
hall was named after him.
Mm-hmm. And his job was up for grabs, as it were, and he lost. And so he sort of retired then from civic duties.
And who was running at that time? Do you remember?
As I recall, Dr. Birch, Dr. Barney Birch.
Oh, yes.
Who came on
the sanitarium.
Mm-hmm.
Right, they built
yes.
the nice house over on College Avenue.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Friends of mine live
And
there.
One other thing I'd like to say, just as a before we get off elections, is Mr. Gardella was a mayor for several years, and at the time that I came to work, I don't remember what I was making. I think it was like $75 a month. And one day, Mr. Young came along, and he plunked a resolution in front of me, and I couldn't figure out what that was all about. But I looked at it, and I had been raised to $200 a month. And I don't think any raise from then on ever made as much impression on me.
Because that was quite a jump.
Because I had never thought that I would ever make $200 a month.
Oh, that's lovely. That's a lovely story, because that was two or three times what you started out with.
Well, elections continued to be a bugaboo, I must admit, but eventually they got easier when the county did a lot of helping. And
then they pretty much standardized where they vote
exactly.
these days.
Exactly, and they also did the counting, which was much more...
Is that done automatically?
Yes.
Now with those push-button ballots?
Yes, the ballots are counted by machinery because of the little holes that we punch.
I see. Well, I think we'll turn over our tape. Before we talked about elections, we mentioned about Bill Parness being the city manager. Now, when Bill Parness was the city manager, where was City Hall located?
City Hall was located in, let's see, when he first came, we were still in the building on First and McLeod. And believe me, that was tight quarters, because by that time we had also hired a finance director. And so the desks were so tight that you had to say to the person behind you, are you going to stand up or can I?
Oh, no. And that building, it had City Hall and the fire department
yes.
and the police department.
Were all in
that one building?
Yes, except the fire department was not in the front part with us. It was still a volunteer department, which, by the way, you may remember as well. I don't know.
No, I didn't really know.
Yes.
No, I didn't.
It was a volunteer department, and there was a horn blown if there was a fire.
I remember the horn.
Right. If the police department got a call for a fire, they ran out and started blowing the horn, and the volunteers arrived and took the trucks.
I see. But so that was all in that one, and the trucks were in that building.
And the trucks were in the other side of the building, and they had kind of quarters in the back, but they were not in where we were. The police department, however, was.
Right.
And then we moved to
it was crowded, and you started moving around now.
It was very crowded, I must say. And the court used to be upstairs, too, by the way. It was called a justice court at that time. And we used to... another funny thing that happened, every once in a while, the police department would need a matron to go with them to the back of the jail if there was a woman prisoner. And one time I remember being asked, because we got to work at 8 o'clock in the morning, by one of the police officers, would I please come and see if this lady prisoner would like some coffee before she went upstairs to court. And I said, okay. So I walked out back with him, and he opened the door, and he pulled it open, and then he stood back. And I couldn't figure out why he was so kind of shy about the whole thing. And so he motioned me to go in, and I did. And the prisoner had slashed somehow, or pulled apart somehow, the mattress and all the pillows. And she was standing there in a cloud of feathers, and that's why she apparently was a slightly violent lady, and she had ripped the place apart. So that was one of my... That was another of the city clerk's chores, an occasional chores.
Not listed in the general laws of Livermore, probably.
And then we went on to... in fact, I think the police department stayed in that building for a while. And we moved out to the building that had been the Bank of Italy and latterly the Bank of America. And part of us also moved to what used to be the Transamerica. No. American Trust, it was called, American bank, Trust. Which is now...
catty-cornered across the street in front of the flagpole.
Uh-huh. It is now the, what is Wells Fargo, eventually.
In that Lizzie Fountain
area
we're talking about.
I think it's a cartoon place now or something like that.
It's some kind of a paperback bookshop.
Uh-huh.
And so that was a big part of your time was in that location before the new.
Yes, uh-huh. And then eventually I've forgotten the timing, but I think it was in the late 70s, we moved to the current city
hall. Well, it definitely was after the centennial, and that was in 69,
mm-hmm.
so it must have been another 5 years.
It was quite some time. It took a long time to accumulate the money and get it going,
and then we had some revenues from the government that helped with that building.
I've forgotten to tell you the truth,
recall,
and it now probably
had some
is
matching funds or something to help pay for that
could
city
be.
Hall, I think.
And it now I think is getting to the point of being the same crowded.
It's overcrowded. I've heard
that
too.
We were when we were in the first McLeod building.
Well, Dorothy, what was the population of Livermore when you became city clerk?
When I became city clerk, I can't say with any certainty, but the next year, of course, was the decennial census in 1950, and I remember that number very clearly. It was 4262. And in the years beyond that, of course, it went each year, probably close, each 10 years rather, it probably went close to 10,000 in 10 years.
I bet so.
Just
because
about.
Because then, say 1960,
60,
that's about right, because I came in 59 and it was around 16,000.
I think you're right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And now... when you retired in 1980, it must have been...
It was in the 50,000 somewhere, but I'm not sure.
And now we're around 56,
Pops,
I guess.
Mm-hmm, I
Isn't
think
that
so.
Amazing?
And so that is basically, to me, when I see young people and someone says to them, oh, she was city clerk for 30 years, and they look at me as if I was absolutely an idiot. But what they don't realize was those years were extremely interesting. We went from, as I say, the 4,000 to probably 50,000 during the time I was clerk. And it was just amazing how many things were happening, how many people I saw going through, how many people who were developers and people who were on the city council. And it was just an amazing time.
And then physically, the changes that, you know, the people you worked with, you were taking care of all this new population, and Livermore was really growing by leaps and bounds. The schools were overcrowded, and they had to build more schools and things.
Mm-hmm. And we saw, too, the establishment of a building or a public works department, and the establishment of a paid fire or a paid fire department. It had been a volunteer department before, and the planning department came into being just to take care of all of the problems that came with growth.
Mm.
And we hired a city attorney, which we had always, of course, but it was a person who was merely on contract.
Was that by any chance Al Lewis?
Al was the...
Who you were talking about hiring as full-time?
Yes.
Because he's just about ready to retire.
Yes, and I was trying to think. I think
he
was
serve
the first
the city.
Permanent one. Mr. Callahan, Richard Callahan, was attorney for when I first came to the city. And then Al Lewis, who is, as you say, now ready to retire himself.
And he went from the city
to the
county court.
As the... and I think at that during that time it went from a justice court to what is called a municipal court.
Okay.
The justice court only came into a play when needed. I don't think they met on a regular basis.
Oh,
but
you're talking about in that old building where it was upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Al Lewis actually served right here in Livermore in that building.
Yes, well, in the building on was on South Livermore Avenue,
right.
which housed not only the court but other things too, and the council used to meet in the court
and
chambers
at
that
time.
City
offices? Were there some city offices
no.
in that building ever, or just other offices?
Just other offices.
But they're talking about tearing that building down.
Are they?
Maybe, and building a two-story building, and there's a little discussion about that, I think. Well, back to the makeup of the city government. Bill Parnes was here most of that time when
yes,
during the big growth period.
Yes.
Did Lee Horner follow Bill Parnes?
Yes, he did. And I'm sorry that I can't remember. When
That's
he
okay,
came.
But he's serving now.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
this is 1992. He's been right. here a few years.
Right.
But I think it'd be interesting to think about. We talked about the different locations of City Hall. We've talked about your duties, and if you think of anything you want to interject here, but you served with a number of city council people, and who were some of the people that were mayor when
well
when
I was
you
trying to think about
office.
That and as I recall, the first one that I remember with any clarity was Mayor Gardella that I spoke about earlier, and then beyond that there were about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, about 9 or 10 people who were mayors, usually prior to the time of electing a mayor, which of course we all remember. The mayor was chosen as one member of the council. They sort of rotated it around either 1 or 2 years as a mayor.
And it probably was in 19. It was before you retired.
Yes, before I retired.
Dale Turner was the first elected mayor.
Yes, he was. And at that time, we had to change the rotation of the council as well, because if one of the 5-member council was going to be elected mayor, we had to decide whether that mayor would serve for 2 years or 4 years, and we of course decided on 2, and then it used to be 3 people were elected one election and then 2 the next, and so we didn't want there to be 3 awfully new people at one time, which was possible, so they by ordinance allowed that it be 2 members of the council would run at the same time that the 2-year mayor would run.
I see.
Hopefully it has worked out fairly well.
I see. Yes, that's a good staggering. So you started under Mr. Gardella, who is where we were talking about the mayors, and who were some of the other people who served as mayors while you were city clerk?
With more clarity than others.
We don't have to be exactly
okay.
You know, in timeline, but the people you served under.
There was Dr. Birch and Manuel Medeiros.
Served with.
Yes. Uh-huh. Dr. Birch and Mr. Medeiros and Dr. Shirley, Archer Futch, Clyde Taylor, Don Miller, Helen Torsell, who was the only, or the first rather, I shouldn't say only, first a woman mayor. And then Dale Turner, and I think that was the last one.
I think it was, because this article that we have here says that he did sneak in a good retirement party for you,
mm-hmm.
even though you didn't want it.
And that's right.
And he was mayor at that time.
I had attended so many retirement dinners that went on and were just not much fun, and I said, I decided what I was going to have. I had decided that I would have a reception that people could come to as they liked or not, and that's exactly what I had.
Good, good. The thing that I thought really capped off your career, and if you think, well, I want to mention this now, that capped off your career in that you had a perspective of over 30 years in this position, is that you thought it was important that this position, which you ran for many times unopposed, become a non-elective position and a staff position. Does that mean the city manager would appoint the city clerk?
Well,
anyway, when you left, this happened.
Yes, exactly. I felt very strongly that it was not the sort of position that should be left to anybody just deciding they thought that was a good thing to run for willy-nilly. I felt that it was really important to hire someone who had a knowledge of government, who could do supervisory work, because at that time then we had a couple of other people in the department who were working. We had started a records retention program, and I felt that it was very important that we should have someone who was experienced in government, not someone who just decided they thought city clerk sounded like a neat position. And so I wrote a letter to the council asking that they put that matter on the ballot at the next election, which they did do. oddly enough, the Herald at the time wrote a editorial about the fact that they felt that was not the proper thing to do. And lots of people also said to me that they were not going to vote for it because they felt that it was a disservice to me. And I finally wrote a letter to the...
Well, so we were talking when our machine went off about the changing from elected position to a staff position for the city clerk, and it was voted upon.
Yes, it was. And it did pass by a small margin, but I was very pleased to know that it did pass. I felt that it was the right thing to do.
Good. You said, you know, you went to city council meetings every week. I remember being at city council meetings and seeing you there on the job. You know, as you look back, were there any development in Livermore as growth-wise, or any issues that were of particular interest to you that gave you the feeling that your city was maybe going to be on the map more than it had been before?
Most of the development was in houses from various parts of the city, and in fact we had quite a few annexations of property which were outside the boundaries. And at the time that by the way, just as an aside, when I came to the city council, offices, the city was a square, a total square, and the boundaries had been set many years ago, of course, when the city incorporated.
Right, because Mendenhall laid it out.
Yes, it was very square, and the streets were mostly wider than they are now in subdivisions, as you can see when you drive around. But anyway, so we did do many annexations, and by the way, annexations were a great part of what the city clerk must do as well, insofar as notifying people of the fact that the annexation is taking place, giving the people a chance to protest if they want to, the people that live in the area, and then filing maps and so forth. And in fact, subdivision maps were also filed by the city clerk. And those were Mylar type things which I had to sign and so forth. In fact, there are so many documents, I'm sure, in the city that have my signature on them that someday somebody
will know who Dorothy Hawk was.
Who the heck is she?
Well,
anyway, one particular person that I, person-wise, as it were, that I remember so much because I think he did such a lot of developing and was such an interesting man, was Masood Mehran. And he had developed so many things that we saw him often, and he was always doing something. Other
well,
than that,
he certainly built a lot of
he
Livermore.
He did indeed.
What about when there were variances?
Variances
that the developers came for. Did you have to follow through on that?
Only to this point, variances were granted by the Planning Commission, which of course was established as the part of was always there, but was only met when there was something that needed doing. And as a matter of fact, I had to do some minutes there too, as I had forgotten that. Anyway, the Planning Commission granted variances. If the person or someone wanted to protest the variance, then it came to, or appealed it to the council, and at that point, then we would see variances acted upon by the council, and I would have to convey that point to whoever the variance affected.
They had applied for. Well, Masoud Moran built an awful lot on the west and the south mm-hmm. of Livermore. But Mr. Jensen
yes,
did a lot. Where we are right now here
yes,
at your
exactly.
house, right?
Yes, exactly. Roy did.
And my house.
And out at what it's called, what I think of as Wagner Farms
Me too.
Now.
Yeah.
And
what
so
was
that's,
it called? Valley East, too.
Well,
I think was one of the
after
names,
a while,
wasn't
people gave things catch names, which sometimes I couldn't remember what they were called. I knew them more as the Jensen Annexation or the Northeast Annexation or some other title that we felt in the office was more appropriate because it gave an idea of where it was.
Where it was, right.
And so.
And Wagner Farms referred to the original tract.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There was a farm there.
Yes, there was.
Right. Because that was really the outskirts of town at
yes,
one time.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Mm. Well, this has been an interesting morning. It's been a privilege and a pleasure, Dorothy, to reminisce with you, to learn more about the city clerk's position from a person who did serve and served the city of Livermore well. And now, I thought I'd interject something from an article that I read at your retirement time. The reporter asked you if you were ever going to work again, and you said, well, if I get all the closets cleaned and all these other things that I have to do, are you ever going to work again, Dorothy? Of course, you're probably working as a volunteer doing many things for our community.
Well, I think it was about a year or so after I had retired that the city of Dublin decided, or the area of Dublin at the time, of course, decided to be incorporated as a city. And at the time, a gentleman had to be hired by Dublin to get the thing in order and do all of the paperwork that needed to be done to incorporate a city. And through the League of California Cities, he knew that I lived close and might be interested in helping, so I said, okay. And so for about 6 to 7 months, I did work in Dublin and was their city clerk. And by the time the 7 months was up, I was totally ready to quit because so much of the work that needed to be done there was the kind of things that I didn't do anymore,
uh-huh.
such as do typings and all the paperwork and office work.
That, because you were really more of an administrator
at
by the time,
time
you,
that I
you,
left, yes, my left. Deputies did lots of that sort
how,
of thing.
How, you know, that's an interesting question. How big was your staff? You said you hired another person when you
yes,
became
and
city
we
clerk.
Had,
but what did you end up with? How
we
much
ended
staff?
Up with
in the 80s.
Yeah, there was myself, my deputy, and the person in charge of the records retention program.
And what is that, Dorothy?
Well, you can imagine that the city of Livermore, having been incorporated many, many years ago, had much paperwork.
Right.
And we had none of it on, there were minute books from the word go from handwritten minute books.
I guess, I read.
And so we wanted to preserve that in case of a disaster, or either whatever kind of disaster might come along. And so we started this program, which photographed, what do you call it? Microfilmed.
Microfilmed.
All kinds mm-hmm. of records, not only the city clerk's records, but also records from finance and
mm-hmm.
all of the departments.
Really
in
important.
Fact.
Where are those kept then?
Well, there's a building, if you notice, on the outside of the office there, which houses all of that.
Oh, is there?
And of course, by the when you've microfilmed it, then you can destroy some of it, the actual stuff.
Oh, the actual stuff.
You can't. So you wouldn't destroy the minute books, but you certainly could destroy other things.
So they do have the minute books that are handwritten.
Yep.
From
also we have the assessment books, because the city used to collect their own taxes.
Oh,
by the way.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that to me was a bugaboo when I first came, because I had to prepare that roll and collect those taxes.
Oh, yeah.
Afterwards, that was given to the county on a contract basis. And so, of course, the county collects our taxes now. And
they have a whole assessor's department.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So had a woman now who's on staff. Carol
mm-hmm.
Greeney is our present
mm-hmm.
city clerk.
Yes. And she worked with me for about 5 years before I retired.
So she had an internship.
Yes, right. Oh, and then one other thing. After my Dublin experience, I was asked to do the same thing when San Ramon Incorporated.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the same man was there. I remember his name. It was George something.
Was he some kind of a manager consultant? Or
He had been a county administrator at one time. And through the League of California Cities, they keep a list of names of people who might like to go and fill in for a month or two in a job.
Oh, well, that was sort of interesting. You helped the Valley.
Yes, and so San Ramon
developed.
By then I had learned my lesson, and I didn't want to get stuck again for months. So I said to George, fine, I'll be glad to do the type all the ordinances and resolutions that are needed, but I want a warm body in there to start training, and if you can do that for me, I will be happy to help you out.
Good.
So
good.
Over a period of, I don't remember exactly, maybe 6 months or so, in the beginning I had to go to several meetings and worked quite extensively, but after a while then the young person whose name is, she's the current city clerk anyway,
is she? Yeah, you helped
in San Ramon,
mm-hmm.
so she came and we worked together, and eventually then I did not work anymore. So those were the only two of my work experiences afterwards.
See.
And by then I said to myself, no more.
No more, but I hear you hear you talking about volunteering and non-paying jobs, but contributing to the community. What kind of things are you doing in your retirement?
Mostly, I have been a volunteer at the hospital at Valley Memorial, and work one day a week from 9 to 12:30. And that's very interesting. Meet lots of nice people. Do hopefully a good service. And I drive for the American Cancer Society, which involves taking people to their treatments in Pleasanton. And that's about it
as far as
commitments are. But there are always a few others.
That's enough.
Hanging around.
Right, that's enough. Thank you so much for this interview. It's been a pleasure to hear you discuss the changes in just one position in our city, as well as your growth in your profession. The Oral History Committee thanks you for your contribution.